Snow. 5-4-3-2 snow.
5-4-3-2 snow.
Instead of go or instead of one?
I don't know. You said it's snowing.
You're going to have a hard time like syncing this up without the one.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Good luck.
Hello and welcome to episode 423 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is...
Your favorite podcaster, Adam, in Vancouver.
Thought you were going to say Joe Rogan.
I should have said Joe Rogan.
Should have said...
Let's do it again. Okay.
Okay. All right, man. And with me is my favorite podcaster, Joe Rogan.
Yeah, that's me. Joe Rogan.
Okay. Same haircut.
Yeah.
One of you slightly tougher than the other.
Okay. He's not a wimp. I'm not going to say that.
No. You get a good point. You better not. Better not say that. Mm-hmm.
He'll get me in a reverse choke.
So tell me about the snow. What's going on, snowman? No, we're done with that. Okay. Moving on.
It's cold and it's snowing out here.
Cold and snowing. A wonderful combo.
Yeah, but a weird... like fluffy snow, a dry snow that we don't usually see out here.
Now this is the part I wanted to get into, because pretty much every single one of those snobs who lives anywhere from Calgary on east likes to shoot their big giant mouths off about how, oh, whenever Vancouver it snows, yeah, and you guys just freak out. You can't even drive. You don't know how to drive in that snow. Which is an odd tone of voice for them to use, but that's how they do it.
Yeah, that is a weird tone.
Point is, they don't seem to understand that the snow on the coast, normally wildly different than on the prairies, and in Germany for that matter, always very wet, but you're telling me no, it's not.
No, not this time. This is a first for me on the West Coast, especially being so close to the water, to have a snow... that is so dry, so fluffy, so powdery.
And one of the reasons, now I'm going to go ahead, I'm not a weatherman.
Okay, let's hear it anyways. Let's hear your take.
Here's my theory on part of it. Now, part of it, the snow is wet typically because the temperatures don't get down too cold. Usually when it snows, it's around zero, maybe plus one, believe it or not, minus one. You want to get that? Is that blowing up on you?
What's that?
Whatever that buzzing was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that. See, I was, you know, trying to, yeah. I was trying to not be rude, and so had my text on vibrate because I have some important things I'm dealing with in the background. So sorry about that. Sorry about that disturbance. But
that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. So the point is, normally, like, yes, the snow is wet when it falls. However, added to that is that typically in Vancouver it doesn't get very, very cold for any length of time. So therefore, the ground is not really, really cold. And thus, the snow that's already close to melting hits the ground, melts a little bit, and then becomes very, very slippery and very hard to drive on.
Right.
But you've had an extended period of cold prior to the snow, which means the pavement has been cold for some time.
Right.
It then lands and does not do that initial melting.
Yeah. And so what's nice is you're used to going out to your car in the morning when you see snow and you're expecting to really need to like scrape like ice underneath the snow off your windows. Like that's just normal. And this just a little wipe and it just fluff and flies away. Like you could blow it off. That's kind of the kind of snow it is. So very, very nice.
I typically here, which we didn't do in Vancouver, I typically shovel snow here with a broom, with a push broom.
Yeah, that's not a thing here usually, it is right now. But
the good news is with this snow, you can go out and drive around like one of those Ontario heroes.
Sure you can.
Yeah, good for you guys all zipping around, speeding all over. Yeah, there you go. Well, that's right. Good. Is it cold enough to go ice skating?
Well, that's the thing. I saw people's pictures last night that our local pond, our Gary Point Pond, the one that shows up in so many photos, the Gary Point shows up in so many of my photos, they flooded it, the firefighters have flooded it. And so because the temperatures look cold for the next, I think, week or so, mm-hmm. we're going to get some real skating. I think the rink is ready, and definitely based on what I see out there today, there's going to be some skating this weekend. So hopefully it just stays cold and we don't get too much snow, because that kind of, there's no Zamboni to clean it off.
Right.
And so it'd be really nice to just stay cold without the snow and get some skating in this weekend, because that's a favorite.
All right. Well, that'll be the photo challenge. Will be, hey,
Gary Point photo
outdoor skating. Yeah, we don't have that. Not only did it not get cold enough here, it has not yet, like, for an extended period of time. We've had some stretches of minus 10 and whatnot, but then right back up to plus 5. The pond in question, the pond in the city, they drained in October. So it's just this big mud patch. And so it's even if it were to get cold, there's nowhere to skate.
Right.
There's other ponds, but I kind of like that one being in town, so that if you know, if somebody does fall through, you can either pull them out, or like there's someone there to pull you out or pull them out. Or the other ones are kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and you don't want to do that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Amazon, if you want to go get your snow shovels, your snow brooms, pick it up at Amazon, click through our site, help us out. We appreciate it. We get messages, I would say every week we get messages, email, something like that. Hey, I'm supporting the show, just so you know, like, I'm buying stuff through Amazon, and hey, do me a favor, check and see if this one's on there, make sure. And I always tell them, yep, I see it, despite having not checked. I'm assuming Jeff Bezos is on the up and up.
Right. Yeah.
Do you think he handles all the day-to-day bits?
Yes.
He probably puts some of that off, though.
Yeah. Maybe. No, he does it. He does it all.
You know what I ordered on Amazon? Just came yesterday.
What's that?
You're not going to guess.
Okay. Let's just hear it.
Yeah. Do-it-yourself sushi making kit.
Someone gifted us something like that from our wedding that's still in a box.
Oh. Well, yeah, but sushi is plentiful on the West Coast.
That's true. Yeah. There's no need for me to make my own.
No, I really do have to make my own.
Okay.
Although,
all right. I should have given you our wedding gift. I should have regifted it.
Well, we had most of the stuff. In fact, my wife and I have our own sushi boards, which we made out of oak many years ago, and so that we had, and then we got the rolling bit, the bamboo rolling mat.
Okay.
But needed the key ingredients that we needed were the sushi rice, which they don't just have at the local neighborhood German store.
Okay.
Sushi vinegar, the rice vinegar, whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's rice vinegar, I believe. Yeah.
Needed that. And the seaweed, which is not plentiful here in inland Germany. Not that you're pulling it out of the Pacific Ocean by yourself, but, you can find it.
Right.
So anyways, I had to order all that. By the time I ordered that, it was like, they just said, hey, man, like, you get the whole kit. And so now we have multiple bamboo rolls. So I think this weekend we're going to go ahead and make sushi and see where that goes. And maybe I'll become the sushi guy in the neighborhood.
Nice. You can have sushi parties.
Yeah, that sounds like too much work.
You can have sushi fights.
We can have a party where we make sushi and everybody watches me eat the sushi I make for myself.
Right.
Not gotcha. super social. But, there we go. So anyway, click to our site and help us out. What's going on, Adam? Did we just discuss that? Snow, right?
Snow. Yeah, there's that. And what else is going on? Not much. No, not much on this end. What about you?
I wrote down relatively zero.
Okay.
Relatively is ambitious.
Yeah. After the snow, it's a big, it's all taken a turn for the worse on my end. So I can only really talk about the weather.
Well, you have the snow. I mean, like, at least you have like the potential for A, ice skating, or B, should you want to go to, say, Queenie Park and go tobogganing, you could do it.
Yeah.
In Steveston, not the best tobogganing.
No, it's pretty flat here.
So where we are, like were we to have snow, that would actually be fun. We could just walk out, up the hill near us and go tobogganing with all the friends, but it's just green. So that's not happening. So really, it's just the February doldrums that don't make me want to do much of anything except for clean the house. That's exactly what I've been doing the entire week.
That's not interesting.
It's not interesting at all. The good news about that is, though, is I know for a fact that no matter what, my wife will never get rid of me.
No, she needs you to clean.
No, not because of that, because judging by how much stuff we have in the house, she's never gotten rid of anything in her life.
Oh, no.
Just, we keep every... Well, you never know, you might need that. You don't, yeah, you're not going to need that.
She's an enemy to the Marie Kondo philosophy, right?
Is that the Japanese lady?
Yeah, who's everywhere, the cleanup lady.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Does it spark joy? I saw about three minutes of it. My wife watched it, and then I don't know if we talked about this. We proceeded to clean everything in our house. And again, I do feel good about it. I do feel good about the clean everything. Got rid of a zillion bags of stuff to donation, stuff to the dump, stuff to recycling. But wow, did we go through everything. And it took days, but it felt so good. So
I have to take lead on this because, like, when she's not home, I take care of it. I basically just yard sale a bunch of stuff out of there. And then I wait a couple of days, and then she does not miss it. And then that's how I know it's gone. Like, forget it. We're not, this isn't coming back.
That's good. That's good. You do what you need to do.
Yeah. We'll see. Hey, I still keep all my baseball cards though.
Yeah, me too. I have hockey and
baseball. Like, get rid of those. Cards. Are you insane?
Yeah. No, those might one day be worth $1 million.
So yes.
Hold on to them.
Yeah.
Just a update on our
texting?
talk last time about, you know, the music, the slideshow and the Hoosiers and the Rudy and all of that stuff. You made a good suggestion about how good the soundtrack for Rudy was. So I promptly went and having the Apple Music, you can just, you know, download whatever you want. I mean, so I downloaded the soundtrack to Rudy. I guess it's all pretty much just instrumental, right? Like, I went through and listened to it.
Orchestra.
Yeah. It's a sort of orchestra music. It's amazing. And I mean, I know all the music because I've seen that movie so many times, but I've never actually sat and listened to the music without the visuals. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome. And so
I did
lay down some of the audio for that because it works nicely in the background because you don't have to worry about, you know, words underneath some video because of I'm doing commentary. This is all for a year-end hockey video movie slideshow that I put together. And so some of the clips, the video clips, that music just works great to kind of lay underneath as I'm giving kind of the play-by-play. I'm gonna really try to ask the team once I'm pretty much finished with it now, but once I show the movie to the team, I'm gonna ask if they wouldn't mind if any parents, hopefully between 15 or 16 different parents, hopefully nobody minds if I post that online because I'd like to share it just because I've been yapping about it. And so people can you know, tell me what they don't like about it, what I should have done differently. So,
All right.
It has a whole bunch of, you know, photos from the year. I try to mix in photos and all of that stuff that you'd expect in a slideshow. But if anyone has song suggestions for me too, like can I give you a rundown of what I've used so far? Maybe you have a good song suggestion.
I have my special go-tos.
Okay, so for the video stuff, I'm pretty solid. I've used the Rudy soundtrack for underlaying the video, and then I go to the slideshow time, and then I have I'm probably drawing a blank on what the song I used is, and I need two songs based on the number of photos that I have. I need two songs. Let me see if I can just quickly on the fly here tell you what I have used. I used The Best Day of My Life for one of the songs, which I kind of thought fit nicely as kind of a happy feel-good song with some of the slideshow pictures. And then I was looking for, okay, what's the second song going to be? And I watched that Bohemian Rhapsody, and so in my mind I was like, I might use a Queen song. And so then I was just trying out different Queen songs, but I hadn't decided on a song yet.
Okay, I thought you wanted just score suggestions, but I do have one ready to go. That's not it. It's fun.
Okay.
The parents will know it. The kids will not. And
that's fine. The kids are more interested in looking at themselves. So in terms of the picture, they're not super concerned about the music, I don't think.
Jeez, I can't remember the name of the artist. I should know it. The song from Karate Kid, the original, You're the Best Around.
Oh yeah, I have that song too, because I've used it in the past. I actually thought about that one, but I feel like I don't want to repeat myself, although I think only Jack would know, nobody else would know. But right. A Best Around, that's a good one.
You know, the backstory on that too, real quick before we move on, is that was written for Rocky IV or III. Rocky III, I guess timeline would be Rocky III. Hard to say. Yeah, Rocky III. And then they just didn't like it. They went with like the Survivor, Burning Heart, or no, the Eye of the Tiger was Rocky III, right?
Or is that Rocky II? Rocky. No. Eye of the Tiger is Rocky III.
It's Rocky III. So the plan was the you're the best around, and then at the last minute they went, no, you know what, we want this Eye of the Tiger, and then they gave it to John Avildsen, who okay, so he directed the first Rocky, right? Stallone did not. It was John Avildsen.
Okay.
And then I believe John Avildsen directed The Karate Kid as well in 84. Okay. And so Stallone gave that to him to use. The lyrics don't make much sense if you listen carefully. Like, he's in his first ever tournament, and it's like talking about, like, yeah, you've been here before and all that stuff. And that was makes sense for Rocky III, not so much for Daniel LaRusso from Miyagi-Do Karate. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So anyway, great song, though, and very... It's you listen to that, it's hard to tell what decade it came from.
Hey, funny that you mentioned...
No, just that's not true. It's definitely 80s.
Funny that you mention Eye of the Tiger, though, because I used that in the first half of the season slideshow presentation thing I did. So one of the two songs I picked was...
Then you got to go Burning Heart.
Burning Heart?
Yeah, that's from Rocky IV, I think.
Okay, but I gotta write that down. I don't know that in the top of my head I know that.
You know it. You definitely, once you hear it, you'll be, oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I'm sure
yeah.
I've seen the movie 1,000 times, but.
Yes.
Burning Heart is the name of the movie.
Okay. Same. It's sung by, it was Eye of the Tiger, Survivor, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So same guys. Burning Heart. All right. You got that done. You're locked in.
Okay. Anybody else who has a better suggestion than what Al's just
luck.
Provided,
feel free to
email the two hosers, because I'm always interested. Okay. There you go.
Do it.
That's all that's interesting for me.
Reminder, monthly photo challenge is do your best, evidently. Is that what we settled on last year, last month, last week, whatever it was? Do I understand how time works? Last week we talked about basically going from the Two Hosers monthly challenge to the Two Hosers monthly photo, right? So this month's topic is do your best.
Do your best, yes.
DYB.
Yeah, I know, it's a little bit of a capo, but I just want to see if we don't get more of a listener involvement and engagement this time. You know, I'd be happy to do any of the stuff we've been doing, but I was sadly disappointed in our, what did we get? Six, five?
We had five, whatever. But they're all fantastic, though.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Still, that wasn't really the intention behind it, was getting five people to participate. We might as well just get, you know, hey... Can your kids and my kids both do a photo? That was basically what happened last time. If my
news,
kids and your kids were really good at photography.
The good news is we've gotten pretty good engagement in your throwing in the towel.
What's that?
We've gotten some pretty good feedback and engagement from the fact that you threw in the towel last week.
Right.
Yeah. So you're getting a little bit, you're getting ripped online a little bit.
Okay, I'm okay with that. I would like to turn around and say, why doesn't anybody do the photo challenge? I'm sure I'm only getting criticized by people that actually participate. Is that true?
Those
are the only ones that would have, I think, any
Most
say
of it's
in the
your
matter.
Mom is emailing me.
Okay, she doesn't participate, so I would not value.
You know what's
her
weird
opinion.
About your mom emailing me? She writes it out like with a pad and paper, and then sends me a photograph of it via email.
That sounds like her.
Yeah,
that's,
I don't know what she's thinking.
That's not
man.
A fake. That's her. That's
yeah,
for sure.
That's a hot move. So, anyways, we're gonna hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge hashtag Hey Hosers, or we're gonna add a new one just because to make my life harder hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Photo. as a dig at Adam, but also makes me have to work a little bit harder. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did photos for a hockey team, like I kind of, I think I mentioned I was going to do. So mm-hmm. yeah, I did that, some action photos on ice with some lights. That's
going to show up next week's show though, right?
No, I don't know any of these people.
No, but the general talking about, oh, this was the different, let's save that for next week's show. You sure. can talk about it. You don't have to post any, but
general
I'm just
hockey. Cause I think, yeah, there'll probably be some hockey photos that I use for photo challenge next week.
All right. I did not shoot anything interesting, but I mentioned last week that my wife had gone skiing on a ski trip with her school. She's a school teacher. And at one point she just had handed her phone off to one of her students and had them snap a photo with whatever Samsung she has. I'm not sure. Something with a 7, I'm guessing. Does that sound right? Samsung 7? Is that a phone?
Samsung 7.
I don't know. Whatever. I don't really care.
I don't know how any of it works. I have a very old phone.
Look who I'm asking. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so anyways, point being, she gets her student to just snap a quick photo and sent it to me via the WhatsApp. And I decided, hey, I'm going to post this because look at this photo. Are you kidding me?
What's that?
Well, that's just a smartphone photo. Just a snap. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
It's and it's been compressed via the WhatsApp. So the original is even better. Although for our online purposes, this is great. This is tough to compete with. I mean, obviously there's different things you get with a DSLR or regular, different camera, like depth of field control, et cetera, et cetera. But just for a pull this out of your pocket and snap a photo, this could go on your wall if you are so inclined. I mean, the conditions are right, but
absolutely. I know. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. It's a great photo. And that's kind of the idea behind just, hey, guess what? Shoot, you don't need all the gear if you just happen to put yourself in a great spot. So this is a perfect example of that. I mean, yes, my phone is not going to be able to do this as well.
Pretty close.
But certainly, my RX100 could do this, given this scenario.
Which iPhone do you have?
I have an iPhone 5S. Uh-huh. It's not going to do this.
That's essentially what I don't know what I have. I have the SE, but it's got the insides of a 5S or a 6 or something. I don't care. Don't bother correcting me.
There's a big difference, I think, when you just go from, because my wife has a 6 and huge difference in the photos that come out of her phone. So I think
maybe it's a 5 inside. I don't know what I have. Okay.
The point is definitely that this is fantastic. Like the depth in the mountains and just the clarity, like looking just, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just looking at it on my screen and just looking at the trees and the backgrounds and it's fantastic detail.
Yeah. Yeah, this is better than pretty much any photo of my childhood.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And just obviously the person taking it, I don't know if it was, I don't know who took this, but happy accident, got lucky, or really, really knew what they were doing. Just the angle and everything gives so much depth. Like when you're, this is kind of a lot of what Chris Marquardt's book is about with wide angle photography. Like it's hard to take a photo of a person in wide angle and give sort of the magnitude of the scene. And this is so good at doing exactly that, of getting the magnitude of the surroundings. So just well done. Great shot.
So I quit. I quit being a photographer.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, not there yet.
All right. Photo challenge this week was high key from 2 weeks ago. We discussed how to do, we did low key photos, low key lighting. Now we did high key lighting. So this is our example of that. And hey, look at that. We both shot photos of our wives.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty funny. So let's have a look at yours first, because alphabetically, there you go.
Sure.
So what's going on here? You got the white background, or is that just a wall?
That's the wall with the flash kind of half power, like behind her, just boom into the wall, because I did not want to set up the white background.
Right. Now, is it a white wall, or did you just blast the color
out of
there?
That's a dark wall. That's the wall that's shown up in a few of my latest photos of Jack. Like, it's a sort of dark gray kind of blue wall.
Okay, nice.
So So you get a little bit, like, I don't know, on my screen, I can see a little bit of blue tinges in it.
Sure.
As I bounce that flash, you know, right into it. But I kind of like the effect, so I didn't need it to be perfectly white. I just thought, all right, the background is just going to be kind of a non-factor here. And then the focus was on, okay, how am I going to light the subject?
And how did you light the subject? I'm seeing two lights. So you have three lights total?
Yes. So there's a beauty dish that's kind of the main light. So that's mm-hmm. just slightly camera right. I mean, just off axis and kind of coming across in front of her. So you get that little bit of shadow on her nose. And then there is a light in and behind her, camera left, again, to create the hair light on her and on her cheek on the left side of her face. Or sorry, camera left, her right side of her face.
Mm-hmm.
So that hair light. And then one up and behind her above to get the hair light on her left side of her head hair, that's camera right. Does that make sense?
So hang on a second. So that's
two rear lights, and one, so four lights total. So
four
one
lights. Strip, okay.
Yeah, one
four
one lights to total. Light the background and three to light the subject.
All right. I think we're catching a little bit of lens flare from that one camera
yes,
light.
Yes. Which I did decide I liked, because if I turn that flash down a little bit more, then I didn't like exactly what was going on for the background. So I thought, oh, if I want to in post, I can kind of, you know, I can get rid of that. I can saturate it a little bit more and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I just decided that, nope, this one's coming right out of camera. Like, this is as clean out of camera as I can remember taking a photo, which is kind of what I liked, I liked the photo, and I did nothing to it other than a tiny bit of vibrance and a tiny bit of contrast. Like, this is pure, this one.
And which lens did you go with on this one?
This is 85mm, mm-hmm. and I want to say an f/6.3, I think, is what I landed on. Yeah,
right. Which gives you a little bit of out of focus, just past the ear and whatnot. So enough.
But again, just that little bit. I really like how the beauty dish works in this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So and I don't plan on doing a lot of this, because I thought, I don't like setting up four lights. I know maybe you feel differently. I just was like, darn it, Al, why the stupid challenge? And I got to get four lights out. And I did this like last night. Like, I'm at 0 hour going, oh, crap. And then I'm like, I don't know how to do high key. And I'm looking at examples online, and I'm like, they all look like they're done with a bunch of lights. And I thought, I don't remember the episode, because we recorded it a little while ago. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to do something that looks like a headshot, because most of the examples were headshots. And then I thought, okay, not a lot of shadows here. I remembered that much from the episode. So four lights, I was cursing your name last night.
Of course. Now, the main thing is judging by the catch light in her eyes, you kept the key light very close to on axis.
Yeah, I remember that.
A little high,
part,
but
a bit of our discussion is very close to on axis. I tried it actually a little bit lower, and I didn't like how flat the light was, and so mm-hmm. I thought, okay. Again, looking at examples, I'm like, yeah, it's too flat. I want just a little bit, and so I have ones that are flatter, but I just didn't think this is two birds with one stone. My wife likes every few months or so, if I give her a new headshot that she can use for work or for social media or for whatever. And so I thought, okay, well, it has to be flattering to her. And mm-hmm. I showed her examples of the first couple that were flatter. She did not like them. So then I thought, okay, so now I gotta bring it a little off axis, because I know what she's going to like better. Play around with the rear lights until it sort of just shaped the side of her face a little bit. And then I thought, okay, the image that she's going to like is going to be more like this, as opposed to the flat one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She doesn't like the flat, even though, I mean, you know, you put our wives, neither of our wives are 17 years old.
No.
And so thus, you know, there's some wrinkles and earned. And so, you know, generally flatter lighting tends to push those out, which your wife clearly doesn't have that many. So
she's doing okay, yeah.
She's doing just fine. I wasn't going to say she was rode hard and put away wet. I mean, that's That was
No. You should not say that.
But not, no, I'm just thinking it out loud, and no, and definitely not. But you know, women tend to, and guys too. Let's be honest, guys are vain and tend to pay attention to those sorts of things, and this sort of high key flat lighting can really mitigate any wrinkles and quote unquote imperfections, which I don't like to do. I'm not a big fan of this lighting. I'm kind of a fan of imperfections myself, right. But there you go. So you're not going to go and do this lighting all the time,
right?
Okay. All right. Let's have a look at mine. And this is my wife.
Can I say one more thing? The hair lighting. I took some notes from our episode on hair lighting, and I feel like I did a much better job on hair lighting this time.
Oh yeah, this was with two. You had two lights coming in, right?
Yeah. One that's kind of catches hair and a little cheek, and one that's just hair at the top. So there you go. I'm applying principles from the podcast to improve my photography. Yeah, there you go.
Nice. At least someone's listening. all right. So here's my wife. I shot this today about 2 hours before we recorded this. It's just like you. It was under the gun. And said, all right, well, here we go. And I decided to an added challenge, because this is not my typical lighting either, but an added challenge was I wanted to shoot light this strictly with hard light. So there is no soft light here. This is all bare flash. The end.
Okay. I sort of like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. There's it's partly the flatness of the light that I don't like. Her
right.
Expression's good. I mean, I like, there's a little bit of rim around her hat. I don't know. There's just, I don't like the flatness of the light. And again, my beauty dish on axis, first couple of my wife look very much like this. And then I thought, she didn't like it. And there's something I don't like about it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say exactly what it is, but I feel like that light a little off axis, with just a little bit of shadow is just more flattering, more pleasing. That's my opinion.
Okay. Now this isn't my typical setup either. But I don't hate that this is your sitcom lighting. This is Everyone Loves Raymond. This is what happens. Now I used four lights on this. The key light, just camera right, was an SB28, probably on around half power. Like I really pumped a lot of light into a very small area. So this is the exact same area that I shot my daughter's photo a couple of weeks ago, the low key one that you hated, and basically in our basement with the basement door. So it's a very small kind of cove. And so basically I pumped an awful lot of light in, and I shot this at like an F22 for that reason at ISO 100. So it was a bare flash camera right, probably half power. And then another bare flash camera left, which you can see by the catch lights, which is probably at a quarter power. It's not 100% flat, but the ratio is almost flat. So it's probably not even 2:1, like 2:1, is a very flat ratio. It's probably even less than that. It's like 1.5:1, I bet. And so that was by design, just to fill in those shadows. And then I ended up lighting the background with a flash behind her. And then I had a rim light camera right, which is where you're seeing that little bit on her hair. Now, looking back, I kind of ran out of time because my wife had to take my son out, and so I was on a real small window here. Looking back, I would have either added a fifth flash, which I didn't want to do, on camera left in behind to backlight her from both sides, or what would have been much easier is to just take that flash camera right in behind and put it directly behind her shooting straight down. Now, we would have seen the stand coming out of her toque, but I would have easily photoshopped that. That would have been easy to just kind of clone blue over top, and you would get rid of the stand, and you would have kind of a nice even rim light. So that's the one thing I would do different. But in terms of high key, this is absolutely your sitcom lighting. Everybody's nice and flat. It's very flattering, I find, if not necessarily artistic.
Right.
So there you go. Now, I'm gonna light like this a little bit more. I kind of want to improve on this. I think I would use an umbrella or some soft lighting and just clamshell it next time. But part of the challenge this week was I wanted to do hard lighting. All right, topic. Let's get on to our topic. I spoke yesterday with producer, writer, director Nate Adams of Chassis Media. I worked with Adam Carolla and their group. I've worked with Nate a couple times, quite a few times now. On the we talk about it in the interview, the Italy shoots and the Goodwood and whatnot. So they have a bunch of projects coming out, and I wanted to talk to them about, because there's some interesting stuff going on that we'll actually bring up after when we come back. So without further ado, here's my interview with Nate Adams. Nate, what's going on, man?
Just sitting in sunny Los Angeles, living somebody's dream.
Hollywood, California. Glendale.
Yeah, well, kind of Burbank/Glendale, but sure, we'll take it.
Oh, it's nice. It's nice down there. Yeah, well, it's not like -8 like it is here.
No.
-8, sorry, -8, that's Celsius.
Oh, all right then.
Okay.
We don't understand that. We only understand American.
Yeah, so -8 Celsius, that's got to be in the 20s. I don't know. Fair enough. Nobody cares. So, Nate Adams, I probably give you a much bigger intro on the lead-in. On the bookend part of this episode. So people do know who you are. They've listened back. You've been on the show before a couple years ago, but I wanted to check in because, man, you got a lot of, well, you said it, you got a lot of balls in the air going on down there at Corolla Digital and other stuff. So what's going on? What do you
got? Chassis Media. Yep. We got a lot going on here at Chassis Media, which is Adam and I's production company.
Right.
We've finished our Willie T. Ribbs documentary. We're waiting on a network television deal, so we can't release it. Willie T. Ribbs is the first black driver to race and qualify in the Indy 500. Great story of a guy who, you know, dealt with a ton of racism, as the only black driver in the 70s and 80s. That'll be coming out this year. We're finishing up the official Carroll Shelby documentary that we're doing, and on the side, I did a documentary called Mind Over Matter about a guitar player with cerebral palsy who grew up picked on and bullied because of his cerebral palsy, and he loved the band Korn because the lead singer of Korn was also bullied growing up, and a lot of his lyrics are about that. And so he would follow the band around and ended up getting tattoos of them and loved them, but he could never play a musical instrument because his hand was paralyzed, and when one finger moved, all of his fingers moved, so he didn't have the dexterity to play guitar. Then he found out the lead guitar player in Korn had lost the tip of one of his fingers, and that's how he learned to play guitar, was his therapy. So he basically said, if this guy can do it with part of a finger, then I can get my fingers to move. And he spent 3 years teaching himself how to get his fingers moving, and you know, long story short, ultimately he ended up, took him a long time, but he started a band and,
well, don't spoil the ending. You want people to go see it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You should check out the film. It's at mindovermatterfilm.com. It's available on iTunes, Amazon, everywhere now. So you can also just go on, watch the trailer. I'm sure Alan will put it in the show notes.
We will do that. We'll put a link to the trailer and also where to find it. How did the story come to you?
That story came to me, the guy who is the director of that. Usually I direct these docs. This one, I'm a writer and producer. So this one came to me. He had done a rough cut of the film, but, and I saw the passion and the depth of the story, but it just wasn't quite all there. And he hadn't quite done all the interviews he needed to do. So I you know, I kind of really came on board and helped him re-edit the film and, you know, go out and make sure that he'd done all the proper interviews, you know, because he'd been working on it for 5 years.
Okay.
And then it took us about 6 months to complete it. So, you know, that's pretty much the story.
Does he find you or did you find him?
He found me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so because normally I know what a director does on a documentary, but I don't know what a producer does. And I guess now you'd explain it. You come in and polish it up.
Well, you know, producer is a, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of producers. Mm-hmm. Some and very few are creative. And I'm one of the kind of few creative producers because I've, in kind of in the film business, I've fortunately or unfortunately, I've kind of done every job there is. So, you know, normally I do direct and produce, meaning I do both. So I facilitate actually making the documentary, you know, doing the budget, going out and doing all the shoots, running the shoots and asking the questions and, you know, dealing with the creative in post also. Usually one person doesn't do all that, but in the case of what we do here and what I've done most of my career, I do.
So which part do you like better?
Very much the creative part, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, I still have to do the other part as well.
That's right.
And you've come with me on, creative shoots. You came to Italy and England and, mm-hmm. you know, we've went on some good shoots.
Indeed. And, no, it's nice to see you know, how you guys work, you know, firsthand right there. So what camera was, I mean, I want to get more about the story and more other stories too, but the listeners kind of want to know the photography side. How was this documentary shot? Do you know what cameras were used for the bulk of it?
Yeah, this one is really interesting. The director, he was Korn's videographer. Like, mm-hmm. he's been with the band for like 10 years. That's where he met Brandon, who's the subject of the documentary. And he's a big DSLR guy. So almost everything he did, it's funny because we did some pickup interviews to get a little bit of additional content, and I have much nicer cameras. You know, I have C300s, you know, they're much nicer, bigger chip cameras with, you know, Zeiss prime lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted a DSLR camera so it would match everything. But I was like, you know, we don't need to like make it worse on people. But
right. Well, those, because now in all fairness, those can match up quite well. Cause if you're to, you know, and I have instructed everybody to watch the 24-hour war, but if you check it out, a lot of the interviews are shot with a C300 and my Canon 5D Mark II side by side. And it exactly. matches up. You can't tell.
That's it often. Mm. Yeah. I mean, you know, it really, to me, in making docs, especially since I've got the Zeiss Super Speed Primes,
mm-hmm.
and those, whether you put those on a, you know, 5D or a C300, it really, it's the lens to me that makes a significant difference, you know, if you're using like the Canon, you know, out of the box 24-105, and then you put that prime on there,
right.
it's night and day. I mean, it's for a documentary, it is real, but you know, if you're following people around out in the field, you just can't use those primes because you need a focus puller to walk around with you. And if you don't, you know, if you're doing a doc, you obviously don't have anywhere near that kind of money.
Right, exactly. And I would definitely rather shoot with the C300. It's just, if you're listening out there, you can get great results with the DSLR. Much harder to shoot, much harder to keep things in focus. C300, much better camera, but you can match them up if you really try. So they shot most of that.
I think they work amazingly well together, mm-hmm. In terms of exactly what you described as, you know, whenever I shoot a documentary, I call it A and B camera. So I'll shoot a kind of a cowboy, which is a kind of a, you know, belly button to the top of the head. And then I'll shoot a tight shot, which is, you know, nipples to top of the head for my side angle, depending on how I do it. And I'll usually, for that side angle, I'll try to predominantly use the A camera, which would be the C300. The reason that I do that is because when you shoot a documentary interview, you probably interview someone for 2 hours and you're constantly cutting into the interview and just using, you know, 15 to 45 second segments that you're going to cut up anyways, because people speak, you know, they say uhs and ums and ramble and, you know, and then they come back on topic. So in order to make that look seamless, what you do in a documentary is you just go from the tight to the wide, you know, and back. And it seems like, oh, you know, this guy's really articulate and speaks well, but really you're just cutting out all the important stuff in between the two shots, you know, and going back and forth. So if you've set those two shots up correctly, it should work very well.
Right. So, and so you went back in, shot the rest of it, with the C300, and then did the finish edit. And, you said 6 months from the time you got it until it came out?
Yeah, pretty much. Until it was at least finished.
Oh, okay. And so I saw that it kind of made the rounds in the film festival circuit.
Yeah, it won 5 audience awards, a bunch of film festivals, you know, won a bunch of awards, did really well. So, you know, we're very happy with how it did in festivals and, you know, everything that happened with the film.
Nice. Well, everyone should go check that out. Meanwhile, one of the other projects that you've been working on, or I guess have done now, is Not Taco Bell Material. You directed Adam's stand-up special.
That is correct. Not Taco Bell Material is Adam Carolla's first ever stand-up comedy special based on his New York Times best-selling book of the same name. You know, it's kind of his origin story, or, you know, his autobiography of growing up. And, you know, it's a really interesting show in the sense of Adam, you know, he literally lays out his whole social security statement of, like, all the, you know, tells you how much money you make every year, you know, over your lifetime. And he just lays it out there, and he's, you know, shows you, you know, through his teens and 20s of making $2,000-$5,000 a year, sometimes zero, you know, all the way through his 30s until he, you know, actually starts to make it. And then he's making hundreds of thousands all the way to where he's a millionaire. And he literally explains it all and what he had to do and how he did it. It's, you know, and also it's funny along, you know, he makes it funny, of course.
It is very funny. I've seen it. I had a chance to see it. I talked to Adam after we happened to had breakfast with him and Mike August just by coincidence the day after. And I told him, I said, like, you know, I said, Adam, like, it is really, really good. And he said, oh, you know, he was happy that I liked it. And I said, no, that's not what I've said, Adam. I do like it. It is objectively good. It's unique. It is wildly personal and authentic. And that's one of the things I really loved about it, because, like you said, he goes through and tells his story in a funny way, but there's not a false note in there, which is pretty unique in the stand-up business. I mean, I know a lot of it's built on your own stories, but this somehow, I hadn't seen a special quite like this before.
No, it's very unique in that way, and, you know, you don't usually see stand-up special that, you know, Adam provides, like, photos and you know, I mean, you know, you get kind of a visual cue to follow along with his jokes.
Oh, sure. It's kind of an ongoing PowerPoint as well.
Yeah, almost like literally like a PowerPoint of the guy's life. So mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting.
It is great. Now, so what does a director do for a stand-up special?
You know, I end up, you know, like I explained earlier, I direct and produce. So they decided to do this at a theater in Portland, Oregon, where Adam has a lot of fans. It was a very old theater that nobody had ever shot stand-up in. So, you know, for this one, I literally had to put in a brand new floor. I had to, you know, bring, you know, you got to bring in, quality curtains to shoot behind him, do the lighting design with the DP, you know, set up the camera positions, and then ultimately cut it together, mm-hmm. you know? So it's just producing a live event and also making sure that it's, you know, you've got a jib and you just got to make sure that it's all really high end quality, you know, content.
Right. But see, when you go to direct like a film, obviously, like, you know, you're doing 30-second takes and then you can, you know, yell cut, you can give some direction to the actors, et cetera, move the cameras. Once this ball is rolling, it's going. So I would imagine most of your work comes before and after.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that night we did two shows back to back with the same clothes, so that makes it easier to cut together. So you've got a little bit of variety. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a kind of trick that you do, and you know, just to make sure that you get what you need. And of course, with Adam, because he's so much of an improviser, both of the shows were so different.
Of course.
So, you know, it worked out really well.
And so when you shoot that, what camera do you use for that?
For that one, I was going back and forth between using a Varicam, the new Varicam, and the new, we shot it in 4K. Mm-hmm. So the new C300 Mark IIs shoot 4K. And for this one, it just came down to cost. The Varicams were significantly more expensive, and I could afford the C300s with good lenses. So I just stuck with those at 4K.
Mm-hmm. And how many cameras did you shoot?
We shot 4 and a jib.
Okay. 4 plus a jib.
Yeah.
It did look fantastic in there. So, how has now to produce something like this, you know, in the old days it would be, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. How has the tech warp? I mean, we've gone warp speed in the last few years in terms of technology. How's that changed the game for you to put something like this together?
Well, it's not as expensive as it used to be. And it's still not, you know, we kind of specialize, or I do, in doing really high-end looking stuff for as low as possible.
Right.
You know, as low price. And, you know, this particular theater was difficult because, you know, it was super old. Mm-hmm. So literally couldn't even use one outlet in there. Like, we had to have our own generator. Everything had to be done from the outside. Like, nobody'd ever shot a stand-up special in there. And I know why, because it's not wired for it. It's not made for it. So that definitely added cost to us significantly, but we still produced it for, you know, under $100,000, which is huge.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of key, because I mean, with if everybody doing there's a lot out there you're competing with. I think Adam's already told the story, but you didn't go to Netflix. It's not going to be released on Netflix.
No, right now what we're doing is we're doing some theatrical releases, and then we're going to do our own digital release on March 5th. So it'll be available everywhere on March 5th. as long as one of the big SVOD players or somebody doesn't come in and pick it up on the way. If they come in and pick it up, they'll take. If Amazon or Showtime or Comedy Central wants it,
mm-hmm.
we still would like to get it on there, but it's not, we'll just do it ourselves.
It's fantastic, though, because I like what you guys are doing here, this sort of self-publishing. It's kind of it looks like a new version of four-walling something, where you would basically, you know, in the old days, you'd have your movie, you'd take it out and show up in Cleveland and show the movie, you know, and just basically keep all the gate, and then drive off and go show it at the next place, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of a digital version of that.
Yep. It's a new world right now. You know, we have our own channel on Pluto TV, which is a digital network right now available in North America, but coming to Europe, which gets over 2 million views a month mm-hmm. already. It's automotive based, but, you know, it's basically, if you have a smart TV, you can get Pluto TV and it's free. Sorry, there's a ambulance going by behind me, but, welcome to Los Angeles. And the distribution world is it's really changing also. I mean, there's just so much going on right now. So it's really an interesting time to be in this business, because you can put your own content out there if you know how to do it and can get it out there. And, you know, Adam has one of the biggest podcasts in the world with 1.2 million people listening every day. So he has a big audience to put things out to.
He does, and just to add to that, with his podcast, is what most people probably don't know is that, and he'll probably deny this himself, is that podcasting, the actual way the state of podcasting exists because of Adam. Is that too bold of a statement?
Much. He was the very first.
Well, he was the first one to really make a he was the first one to make a real business model of it. However, when the patent trolls came calling, if I remember correctly, Adam stood up and said, "No, we're going to fight this."
Yeah, the patent trolls came after Adam, and from my understanding, you know, they came after him, and he, you know, it was either kill your podcast because they wanted $1 million and half the podcast. Adam's probably the only one's podcast who could have sustained that. Everyone else would have had to just go away.
Well, but,
you know, any other podcasting.
Well, they would not have stopped there, though.
No, they would have went after every person who has a podcast.
And so in that respect, Adam being the first one to stand up and just say, nope, if I fall, everybody falls. And he stood up and won. I mean, I know he one is kind of a...
Yeah, he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars fighting guys. Like,
yes, I know. Mean, we all won. Put it this way, we all won.
Anyone who has should be thankful for Adam, because you wouldn't have a podcast unless you had $1 million.
No.
And then these guys would have a podcast.
Absolutely.
Because that was what they were going
and
had it beat Adam, then they have precedence to go after everyone else.
Yep. And I do know, I have heard, you know, Joe Rogan give credit to Adam about, you know, basically making podcasting a thing. And so there are people out there who do recognize that, but I would say the bulk of people listening to my show right now probably don't know that. And so point being is that, you know, so Adam, not only does he drive the path for new mediums in making podcasting actually a legitimate thing, the fact that you guys are going in and doing this chassis into Pluto TV, you guys are doing this new four wall thing. Where, explain the four wall a little bit, because you're showing this digitally in theaters all over the U.S. all at the same time. But if I understand correctly, you have to hit a minimum.
Yeah, so we're doing a theatrical release of Adam's podcast ahead of
Comedy Special.
Yeah, it's a comedy special. Sorry, losing my brain. We're doing it ahead of the March 5th release, so probably a week to a week and a half before. It'll be in theaters in kind of the 20 major markets in the U.S. And The website is tugg.com. And so how it works is what you need to do, you go to the website, and if let's say Dallas, you know, that's a good market for Adam. If there's a theater there that it's already set up at, and if they sell, I think it's 70 tickets, you know, for whatever a movie costs, $12, $14, whatever, then they'll do the screening. And, you know, you'll go to a theater with a bunch of Adam fans and watch his stand-up special. It'll be a ton of fun. And that's what we're doing in every city. And you just go to the website, tugg.com, T-U-G-G.com, and you see if your city's on there. And if not, you could start one in your own city. I just had a guy hit me up this morning from Cleveland and say, hey, it's not in my city, and I want to start one here. I was like, all right. You go to the website, and you start your own.
To me, that's a fantastic idea. I love seeing movies in the theater. I miss that. It doesn't really have, well, I mean, I suppose people still see movies in the theater, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Okay, but see, you understand, I'm in Germany where stuff's in German, so it's difficult for me to go. I can find English movies. I have to drive about an hour. So I've seen, this year I saw A Star Is Born in the theater, and before that it's been like 3 years. So it's, for me, it's difficult. However, I know it's sliding away. People have, like, you know, 85-inch TVs in their house and they don't want to leave the house. I still prefer seeing movies in the theater. And I can tell you, having seen the comedy special with an audience, it's fantastic. See it with like-minded people. Seeing things in a group like that and that shared laughter, it's an amazing experience. Go sit in the dark with a bunch of strangers and watch Adam's special. That's my advice to you, the listener.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to do it, and that's why we wanted to do it that way, because, Adam's fans really are kind of special people, and they really do, you know, they just, it's great, and the special is great, like you said, and they have a ball. I've been to so many of his shows.
What's the last sort of theatrical release for a stand-up special? I mean, you go way, way back. It was, you know, Eddie Murphy doing Delirious, but there's been a few since then. But it's not like a common thing.
That's why we're, you know, this is kind of a little bit innovative what we're doing, but, you know, we're kind of seeing how it works, and Adam has a big fan base, so, you know, this was just the idea to, you know, put it out there so his fans could go see him in a theater.
Yeah, and well, you know, he paved the way for podcasting. I think he's paving the way for a bunch of other things too. I mean, like this new four wall thing. Whether it's just a preview for the digital sales, who knows? But this could be an actual market moving forward. So, can we set one up in Stuttgart? That's what I have to find out.
Well, yeah, that's what you have to figure out.
Well, I'll put the word out.
You and you'll have to buy all 70 tickets.
Okay. We'll see. See if I can get a group on for that.
There you go.
Well, Nate, what else you got going on? Anything else? We covered everything.
We have, we're finishing up our official Carol Shelby documentary. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple of TV projects that we're working on, and we're always kind of, we're always moving here.
That's great.
We do have our, we have a really fun series that Adam has worked on, or that Alan, sorry, has worked on with Adam, and it's called Going Racing with Adam Carolla, and it's where Adam it's kind of a no reservations tour of vintage car races, where Adam Carolla will take his vintage cars there and race them around the world, sometimes in England, sometimes in Monterey, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So we do this with a company called Vero, social media company Vero. You can get it on your phone. It's an app, V-E-R-O. So if you go on there and look up Going Racing with Adam Carolla or just Adam Carolla, you'll find all these episodes that we've done, and we're about to release a whole new season on there where Adam races one of Paul Newman's GT1 national championship cars. We have the season already on there that I worked on with Alan in England at Goodwood, where he races Paul Newman's Le Mans winning 1979 Porsche 935. So there's some great stuff on there. If you go to Vero, you can get it on your iPad or your phone. And it's a really fun app, too. It's a social media app that doesn't, it's like Facebook, but it doesn't do any data mining.
Right.
So they're not stealing all your information.
I urge you to check that out just to go and see, if for no other reason than to see my name in the final credits, because for some reason, Nate's always good to me. My name always pops up really early in the credits.
Well, you know.
Alphabetical? Hey, that's all I can assume.
That's I think, how I do it.
No, that's not at all. I was actually shocked. It was in the 24-hour war as well. It came up really early, and I thought, wow. I didn't even care. I didn't expect to be in the credits. It's not something, it wasn't in my contract. In fact, speaking of that, I had a listener ask me questions about contracts and you know, how do I word my contracts, et cetera, et cetera. And I gave him my answer, but do you remember our contract, Nate?
Yeah, we have a very thorough, detailed contract of me asking you on the phone and you saying yes.
That's exactly right.
Our contract.
Yep, never signed a contract with you guys. Even last time out, even paid for the rental car and got, you paid me back. But it wasn't a situation of, oh man, we got to work this out. And what about this? It was just, all right, we'll deal with this in the AM.
You're always good about us being really slow paying you back too.
Oh yeah, I figured, you know, you guys are in Los Angeles, I'm in Germany. What are you going to do? It's not like technology can sort that out. I don't care. I love working with you guys. I don't want this to be a digital love letter to you guys, but I really love working for you and Adam and the whole gang. It's great. And one of the things that, like I said on our show, I think probably last week or 2 weeks ago, was that I've worked with some people before and then they're kind of a-holes. It happens. I said, but you know, Nate, you'll hire me to come out and basically shoot an 8-hour day. And then we get wrapped, we're done in 6 hours. And you just say, all right, well, guess you're done early. You don't, you know, I've had other guys make me run on the spot or, you know, they, okay, well, go wash my car. Like, just make stuff up because I want that 2 hours worth. And that's not you. It's just, all right, job's done. Move on with your life. Now, the next day, if we go over to 9 hours, you know, there's no complaining on my end. You just look over and I'm like, yeah, we're doing 9 hours today. No crying about it. So that's one positive thing. I really
that's
like
how
working
I do
for
it.
You guys.
We work. No reason to work if you don't need to. You're always great. You're always great. I mean, you work 20 hours if we need you to, and you work five, you know, whatever. You always.
All right.
You know, and the way we do stuff, especially the documentary kind of docu-follow style we have is, you know, it's all run and gun, and a lot of it is kind of things come up on the fly, and you have to decide how to shoot it immediately and set it up. And, you know, it's not like a film where everything is planned down, or a commercial where, you know, a commercial, everything is planned down to the frame.
Right.
And, the videos or the films, you know, your day is very specifically planned. Like, the docu-follow stuff's just run around and get Adam doing what he's doing. And so, you know, you have to be mobile and be able to work on your feet and think on your feet. And, you know, you do that very well. And it's also fun to work with you.
It's, well, okay, you that's know, enough. No more love, no more love, Nate, come on.
All right, you're terrible. You're horrible.
No. Yeah, all right. Nate, as always, thanks a lot for taking the time.
Thank you. And hey, if you guys like docs and car stuff, go to our website, chassis.com, chassy.com. Check out some of our films, you know, some of the films we represent. There's a ton of great ones. And
do that. Follow Nate on Twitter and Instagram and all that. Right?
Oh, yeah. You can see my shenanigans, Twitter, Instagram, Nate Adams 26.
There you
That's
go.
Me. So, yep.
I'll expect the big hoser surge this week. All right. All right, Nate.
Thanks, Alan.
And we're back.
Yes.
What was your key takeaway from that?
I like Nate.
Everybody likes Nate. Yeah, you haven't even heard the interview yet. I haven't mixed it yet. But I'm really interested to see where this goes. You know, so for Adam, you may have already heard about this. One of the things that they're releasing that we talked about was the Adam Carolla's stand-up special, not Taco Bell material. And they're doing a kind of a version of four-walling, meaning they're playing it in theaters all around North America. I think, is it North America or is it just the U.S.? I'm not sure. No, I'm not asking. I'm just putting it out there for people to...
That's why I didn't I didn't respond.
Yes. Point being, he shot... I've seen I've seen the special. It's really good. Not only do I like it, it is very good. It's very personal. Again, I'm repeating myself. We just talked about that in the interview. But one thing I'm really excited to see is where this goes. I hope this is an overarching success, because this is a really great way. It's a real pioneer move to go and basically self distribute this kind of thing. And this is kind of the dream. So I don't know how you feel. I mean, do you prefer watching movies at home or the theater?
Generally at home, to be honest.
Because of?
I have a giant screen and a great sound system, and I can go to the bathroom when I want.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's reasonable. I like seeing movies in the theater. And so in order to see this stand-up special in the theater would be kind of cool. So if you're out there, you're a fan of the show, and he's coming to a town near you, a theater near you, definitely check it out. You're not going to be disappointed. And then the other documentary that Nate's got out is called Mind Over Matter, which we talked about, which I'll post a link to the trailer in the show notes, and you can check that out as well.
Okay.
All right. Challenge.
I will check it out.
Check it out.
Very well.
All right. Challenge for next week is why don't you go ahead and drop this on us?
I'm trying to, lob a softball in for myself here, just because I know we're going to be on a short turnaround. So I'm saying action. Action shot, because I'll probably take something of hockey as a spoiler alert.
All right. I'll do that. Wonderful. Monthly challenge for this month is do your best. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag that Hey Hosers, or hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Photo if you're mad at Adam. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca is where you can find my stuff.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com, or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.